words in that entire verse. Use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The church only works when we work together. There's some, if we're not careful, get off to the side, and we don't include them like we should to be active parts of God's body. We need to be constantly looking at people and looking at opportunities and looking at ways to get more and more people involved, because everyone is extremely important in order for God's work to be accomplished. Nehemiah is a great example of that. Nehemiah is given the task of rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. And in order for that to get done in record time, it had to have a situation where every person was willing to do what they could do, what they were told to do, what they were made to do, what they were supposed to do, at the same time deal with the problems that they were encountering. I mean, Satan's not just going to let us get things done without attacking us. I think some of you have noted before, Satan has tried over and over and over again to destroy even this congregation. And he's tried over and over and over again to destroy you and me. He does that. That's what he does all the time. And he's going to do it again tomorrow. He's going to continue doing it. It's going to continue happening over and over and over again. So in spite of the opposition, if we work together and everyone does their part, then we're able to come out stronger and do what God wants us to do, even though there's opposition. Sometimes we want everything to be easy in our life. I'd like it to be easy too. That'd be great. I'd like it if Satan just left us alone for a long time and never came back. But what do we know about Satan? We know that he will flee from us, but also what do we know? Is he going to stay gone forever? Even with Jesus, he saw an opportune time to come back and tempt him again. He's not going to leave you alone forever. If you resist him, he'll flee from you, but he will be back. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 15. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that they, with one hand they worked at construction, with the other hand they held weapons. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his sides as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Everyone returned to his work. Everyone knew their role and they fulfilled that role. And everyone recognized the importance of everyone else's job. If you're on the wall, you're going to take solace knowing that there are people who are watching. There are people who are prepared. There are people who have their armor on and ready to go. If you have your armor on, you're ready to go. You're the first line of defense. You're appreciating the guys up there loading the rocks and building the wall. Another example of this that I looked at this week as I was talking to the people at the assisted living place was David. After David went out to battle to get his family back, when they were conquered at Ziklag, you guys remember that story? He was going to join with the Philistines to go fight Israel. The Philistines said, no way, you're not coming with us. We don't trust you. You're going to turn on us and fight for God's people. So as he's going back to Ziklag, both of his wives at that time are gone. His children are gone. Everybody's wife and children are gone. Everybody gets ready to stone David to death. They go and have victory. 600 men. 200 of the men are so tired they can't go on. Well, the 400 who go on and win the victory, what is their attitude toward the 200 that couldn't go on? We're going to give your wife and your children back and that's it. You didn't help us. You didn't go with us. Spoils of war belong to us. We're the ones that went and got it. David brilliantly steps in and says, that's not the way it's going to work. The people who guard the supplies are just as important as the people who go to battle and fight the battles. And so it was a law from then on out. If you guard the supplies, you get the same amount of the spoils of war as the people who go to war, because the people who guard the supplies are just as important as the people who go out in battle. And that's the attitude and mindset and the concept that we need to get in our lives together. A couple more verses. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Looking at Barnabas, how at the very end of this section here in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them in prophecy and prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I think Barnabas is a great example of that. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When they came, they had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Barnabas encouraged them that they should, with purpose in their heart, serve the Lord. He was an encourager. There are those in our audience who are encouragers. And we need encouragers. Moses, I won't read the passage there, but Moses led with diligence. It talks about how Moses got up early in the morning and stayed up late in the evening, and listening to the problems of the people and judging the people, so much so that his father-in-law was like, you do this too much, you work too hard. You do too much, you take too much on yourself. And he got people to help him. It's a practical chapter. 8 verses. It tells us we don't need to be conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are going to change. We're going to be different people 5 years from now than we are today. Who we are 5 years from now depends upon the decision we make today to serve the Lord or not. Humility is required. And there's so many chances we're going to have to think that we're better than somebody else. We're smarter than someone else. We've been here longer than someone else. We have more status in this group because we were part of the people that founded this group. Or we've been here this long and newcomers come in. Sometimes we're not careful. We have an ungodly attitude about ourselves. We've got to be careful about that. And then we need to all work together. That's the kind of attitude we need to have. The message today, hopefully, as you look around, you see the way that we work together, you see the way that we are, we see that there's a lot of good things that are happening. A lot of good things are happening in your life individually. You have been transformed. A lot of you are different and good and better than today, more like Christ today than you were 5 years ago. If that's the case, great. Keep it up. Keep on that path to growing more and more like Jesus Christ. I want you to feel good about that. There's nothing wrong with hearing a sermon and feeling good about that. If that describes you, if you're transformed into the image of Jesus Christ today, good. I'm glad. I'm happy for you. I want you to continue that. The devil's going to come back after you, but I want you to feel good about that. If you're not the kind of person God wants you to be, I want you to feel bad about that. I don't know any other way to say it. That's what God wants, right? That's the emotional response God wants you to have, that if you realize you're not the person that God wants you to be, that you feel badly about that, and it changes the way that you live, and it makes you renew your mind and transform yourself. To set your mind on things above, not on things below. To think about things that are pure and honorable. To meditate on God's Word, as we should be doing. If anybody needs to come to the Lord and make their life right, we invite you as we stand and sing.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Oh. of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily as praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Please be seated.